I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament, Gospel of John. John chapter number 6, as we stand to our feet. John chapter number 6. In this passage of Scripture, we see that the Lord Jesus has given a great discourse on Himself being the bread of life. I was going to preach on the Lord Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life," and begin a series today on the I Am's. But I found a jewel amongst jewels in one verse of Scripture, and I want to look at this one verse before I begin preaching on a series. But I want you to look with me at verse number 57. The Lord Jesus is speaking here, and He says, "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." What a verse. It says so much as He's talking about who He is and about His Father and about His life and about our lives. And this morning we're going to look at a love, a lesson, and a life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the time You've given to us to open Your Word. Lord, I recognize that I need Thee if I'm going to stand and preach. I need Thy power, Thine anointing. I need You to work in a mighty way in my life. Lord, I pray that You'll guide my thoughts and my words. And I pray this morning that everything that is said will be pleasing to Thee. I pray, Lord, for those that are here without Christ as Savior, I pray that their hearts are prepared to receive Thy Word. For those that are saved, I pray that their hearts also are prepared to receive Thy Word. And I pray that we'd go away from here, Lord, closer to Thee. Lord, I ask You to use this time that Christ would be exalted and the church would be edified. Lord, I pray that the sinners would be brought to Thee. Lord, hide me, please, behind the cross. Lord, may it always be about Thee and Thee alone. Lord, may it never be about me, this church. But Lord, I pray that it be for Thee. For it's in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. In this discourse on the bread of life, we can go and we can read how that verse 52, the Bible says that the Jews strove among themselves over the truth that Jesus had given them. He was telling them about the bread of life, and He said that they would eat His flesh and to drink His blood, but it wasn't literally His flesh or literally His blood. Some people have tried to make it today. They couldn't understand what He meant when He said in verse number 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I will give is My flesh, and which I will give for the life of the world." Christ is speaking here of Him giving Himself, His life for us. The Lord gave manna to the children of Israel in the wilderness, but every day they had to have more manna and more manna and more manna. But here the Lord Jesus in the discourse of the bread of life, He says, "I am that bread that's sent from heaven." He says, when you take a bite of Me, when you eat of Me, when you partake Me, when you consume Me into your life, you'll be satisfied. And that's what it's talking about here. It simply means that when it's talking about eating His flesh and drinking His blood, it means believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, putting your faith in Christ. And spiritually eating and drinking is implied here. And there's two things that we have to understand if we're going to think about eating and drinking. First of all, there has to be an appetite. There has to be an appetite. There has to be a hunger and a thirst for you to know Christ. You know, I can stand here this morning and I can preach to you for hours and hours and hours and hours. And I can say things week after week after week, and I can go on and on, just like I'm doing right now. But until you have this hunger for Christ, until you recognize a need for Christ, then you'll never receive Christ. You'll never bring Him into your life. Until you see the need of Christ, you'll never get saved. You'll never understand why would you need to be saved if you don't understand you're lost. Before I go any further this morning, may I remind you what the Bible says. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you may be living a good life and you may have great things around you and everything may be provided for you, but the Bible says you're lost. And to be lost means that you're on your way to a place called hell. Jesus died for you so that you wouldn't have to go there. Jesus died so that you could live. Jesus came into this world and did wonderful and mighty things so that you could have wonderful and mighty things in your life. There has to be an appetite, but then there has to be an application. You can say, well, I have a need. I'm hungry for this. I'm thirsty for this life. It's just like if you were to go to our house today after church and you were to be hungry and there was food set upon the table, you have to apply it. Jesus died for you. He was buried and He rose again the third day. You can say, I believe that. But you must apply it to your life. You must, by faith, trust what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. If you're hungry and food is set out there, it's not going to satisfy if you just look at it, if you just smell it, if you just touch it. But when you apply it to your body, you'll be satisfied and the needs will be met. Now, with food in this world, that food will last for a few hours. You'll want another meal later on. If you go home and eat at lunch today, sometimes some people eat before service tonight. They'll eat right after they get home and right before service or some after. But regardless, there'll probably be another time today. If you go home and you eat dinner, you'll want supper later on tonight. Because that doesn't satisfy you. But I want to tell you something. If you partake of the bread of life, you'll be satisfied. It'll fill every need. It'll do great and mighty things. To look upon Christ and say, I believe He died on the cross of Calvary. I believe He was buried. I believe that He rose again. I believe those things. But until you by faith receive Christ into your life, those things will do you no good. The devil believes and trembles. So we understand this morning. So there was a time in the life of every Christian, when the Holy Spirit truly, I believe, puts a hunger, He helps us to realize that we're lost and we're needing something and there's a void. And the Holy Spirit deals with us and helps us to realize that we need Christ. And when we take Christ at His Word and we receive Christ into our lives, He fills us. He satisfies us. The Bible says in our verse this morning, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. In the next few moments, I want to preach to you and give you just three thoughts about this love, this lesson in this life that can be a part of your life and help you to understand the great things of God and who He is and what He wants to be in our life and then what we can be because of Him. First of all, I want you to look this morning, I want you to see in this verse a love too glorious to mention. A love too glorious to mention. When I say that, it's to comprehend, to be able to tell it all. The Bible says, as the living Father hath sent me. As the living Father has sent me. Now remember, this is the Lord Jesus speaking here. And the words of the Lord Jesus were made in such a reference that He called God His living Father who sent Him. And I want to take that and break that down just a little bit. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says that He is living. And when I think about that, I think about the God who was in the beginning. You remember when the Bible says in the beginning God? And I know I've preached on this so many times. In the beginning, God already was. There is nothing in the Bible that tries to prove the reality of God. It just assumes the fact and evidence that God is God. God has no beginning, by the way. When the beginning of this world started, God already was. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God was not created. God was the Creator. And when we think about this, we think about this relationship, we look at these different things. This is speaking about the one that said to Moses, tell them that the I Am hath sent you. The I Am is the ever-present God. You remember Moses said when the Lord was calling Moses to go and to serve Him and to lead His people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He says, but Lord, they won't believe me. Who am I going to say that it is that sent me? And God said, tell them that the I Am has sent you. And then He says, the I Am that I Am. You know what that means? That means He's the ever-present God. In other words, if we last 10 more years, God's already there. I don't know, I can't comprehend this with my mind, but I just happen to believe that God is the ever-present God, that He's always previous, He always goes before us, He's already in my tomorrow. And so when Moses goes to the children of Israel, they had an understanding of who it was that God that Moses was talking about when they said, "Who is it that sent you here?" And he says, "The I Am. He it is that has sent me. The I Am that knows what's going to happen in your tomorrow. The I Am that knows already about the wilderness journey and the Red Sea and the 40 years of wandering, and He knows already about the Jordan River and about the walls falling. It's that I Am." Now, they didn't understand that, and they couldn't comprehend it. But before Moses ever went, God already knew these things were going to take place. He is the I Am. He is the living Father. Isaiah was writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and God was speaking to him about who God was. And he wrote, Isaiah wrote through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. He said, the Lord said, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." And you remember in the book of Malachi, when the Lord was speaking here, it speaks of one, He says, "I am the Lord. I change not." That's good to know today, isn't it? That when you put your faith in the Lord, He is always the same. Everything else seems to change around us, but He's still the same. I am the Lord. I change not. So I want to thank the Lord today. Thank God that Christianity is not some religious theory. It's not just based on circumstance or happenstance. It is founded upon the eternal, living, everlasting God. The psalmist said, "He is from everlasting to everlasting." The Lord Jesus was declaring that He was the living Father. I like that word Father. It's a great word, isn't it? I'm a father. I love being a daddy. I love having children and having that responsibility. But with the word Father here, it speaks of the one, the God, that wants you to be His child. You understand this today. Jesus came into this world for you, and God wants to be your heavenly Father. He's the living Father, and He wants to be your living Father. There's nothing greater in all the world than to think about how that when we're born into the family of God, that we have the privilege, and always will have the privilege of calling Him our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father that created the world. Our Heavenly Father that's ever present. Our Heavenly Father that goes before us. Our Heavenly Father that's already in our tomorrow. With all the worries and the trials and the troubles of this world, God is already there. The song says it well. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow. I know He's taking care of me. With everything else, if everything else falls apart around us, you can be assured that you're safe in the arms of your Heavenly Father. You remember what Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." When I realize what I have and the relationship I have with God and Him being my Father, and to realize that I can speak to Him and it's a personal relationship. I'm not just some little old dot in the world. I belong to Him and He belongs to me. I call Him Father and He calls me Son. He's mine. I'm His. There's nothing like that in all the world. Speaks of care and concern. Talks about Him being the head of the family. I told you just a moment ago, with my two kids, I couldn't imagine having the kind of love that I have for my children. I got married. I married Jody for Jody. I didn't marry her for children. As a matter of fact, we really didn't think we were going to be able to have children. God blessed us. We have one, I believe, in heaven. She miscarried. And we have two that God's given us the privilege to rear up in this world. And there's something precious about being able to take care of those kids. And when they have a need, when they can come and they can speak to me, and they can talk to me about certain things. Sometimes it's silly things, isn't it? And sometimes it's precious things, and sometimes it's serious things. But there's something special that I'm their daddy, and they can come, and they can joke, and they can talk with me about things that would mean nothing to anyone else. But Joe and I will be in the car sometimes. We'll have conversations. Nobody else would care about what we're talking about. But I care. And there's times you feel like nobody else cares about what's going on in your life. But I want you to know there's one that cares. It's your Heavenly Father. And He wants to talk to you. He wants to be something special in your life. He wants to help you to grow in the Lord. He wants to be special. He wants to encourage you and to exhort you and to strengthen you and to help you to be everything that you can possibly be in Him. He says that He's the living Father. The third thing we see about this love that's just too glorious to mention. I can't get it all out. There's so much more about this love that I want you to see and to get a hold of today. If you're here today without Christ as Savior, I want you to know that God wants to be your Heavenly Father. He wants to have a special relationship with you. He wants to be special to you. He wants you to be able to talk to Him about the cares and the concerns. But until you know Him as your Savior, until you know Christ as your Savior, God cannot have that relationship with you. You have to come to the Father through the Son. You have to be willing to trust the Lord Jesus as Savior. The Bible says, the living Father. Then it says, that hath sent me. The living Father. As the living Father hath sent me. This tells the greatest story that's ever been told. When we think about this particular portion of Scripture, it tells of why Jesus came into the world. He is the sent one. He's the only begotten of the Father. He's full of grace, full of truth. And along with sending His Son, He gave us the greatest love letter that's ever been given. You know, they have books of letters from soldiers. World War I letters, World War II letters, where soldiers sent their loved ones letters back home. Sometimes a wife, sometimes parents. And they have these compiled in books where people have given to them. And you can go and you can read some of the most beautiful letters ever sent. How they miss somebody and how they love them and how they think about them day after day. And the thing that helps them make it through the day is the very thing that the thought of them and who they are and what they mean to them. Sometimes it's a parent and sometimes it's the spouse, but when you begin to think about that, you begin to read those letters, you begin to see the love that is given in those letters and how sincere those letters are. But I believe the most sincere love letter is all wrapped up in one verse of Scripture when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. As the living Father hath sent me, the Lord Jesus said, as the living Father has sent me, when He sent me, He was sending the greatest love letter to the world because He was sending me to die on the cross. We've tried to express it. Preachers and teachers and singers throughout the ages have tried to express it to their greatest ability. Some can stand up and they can bring you simply into the presence of God when they begin to talk about His love. But none of us have ever really been able to express it to the great degree of which it's sent. We can try to tell you how much God loves you, but until you've experienced it, you don't understand it. And even when you've experienced it, now that I know the love of God, I know the Christ that was sent into this world. I know Him as my personal Savior. I've put my faith in Him. And because of that, I know that heaven's going to be my home. I know that He'll never leave me or forsake me. I know that He cares about me more than anyone else cares about me. But I still can't describe to you just how great this love is. It's higher than the highest mountains and deeper than the deepest seas. It's wider than the widest valleys. It's brighter than the sun. It's more magnificent than the moon and the stars that shine at night. It's more glorious than anything that you'll ever experience in your life because it is the love of God that came into the world through the Son of God, and He died on the cross for our sins. It's a love simply too glorious to even be able to mention it in the degree in which it's given. Every song that's sung ought to help us to see Christ, to understand His love for us and His care for us. Our greatest minds would never be able to reveal to you how great that love is. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, you may not be able to express it all, but you finally begin to understand it all. There's no love like the love of God. It's a love too glorious to mention. Then it's a lesson too great to measure. The Bible says something deep here. So says something that's hard for me to comprehend or to be able to tell, but I believe it with all my heart. The Bible says, as the living Father hath sent me, and then listen to this, and I live by the Father. The life that Jesus is speaking of here is a life that is given to Him by the Father. He lives by the Father. We know that He's co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. This right here indicates that this is not His bodily life. But it says that He lives this life by the Father. And you remember what He said, I and my Father are one. It's a union. It's a union that's a mystery that we can't really explain. We just take the words and believe it. Somebody says, well, explain the Trinity to me. Trinity to me. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I can't take you to the depths of all that it means. But it's a triune God. There is a God. And He is Father, He is Son, He is Holy Spirit. They each have their equal things that they do. They each have their special place, but they're one. I can't comprehend that, but I have absolutely no problem believing that. Because I believe that God is God, and that God sent His Son into the world to die on the cross. And the Son went away and said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So they all do their job. They've all accomplished what they're supposed to accomplish. And we think about this, we see a lesson. It's just too great to measure. I know that the life which He lives from the Father empowered Him to create a world, to control a universe, to master the elements, to heal the sick, to open the blinded eyes, to cleanse the lepers, and to raise the dead. I believe He was the living Son of God, that He was living by the Father. It made His disciples cry out and say something like this. They said, what manner of man is this? Even those that saw Him in His presence, that walked with Him and saw Him in the flesh, said, what manner of man is this? We can't comprehend the depth of all of this. We can't understand all of this. You remember when the soldiers that were sent went back to the high priest, they said, never a man spake like this man before. We've never heard anybody like this. There's something different about him. They couldn't explain it, but they knew this was no ordinary person. The disciples knew that no man had ever spake like this man before. They knew that there was something special, there was something different, and it was because He was the living Son of God. And He was the living Son of God that died on the cross for our sins. I also know that the life that He lived from the Father couldn't be sealed up in the tomb. Amen? You remember what they did? They took the living Son of God and they nailed Him to a cross. And as they nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross, 3 days later, he broke the stronghold of Satan and he took the sting of death away and he made the grave lose its victory as he broke the bands of death and he rose from the grave, triumphant over death, over hell, and over the grave. You remember what the Lord Jesus said when John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos? And God gave John the words to pen of the book of the Revelation. Remember, the Bible says, I saw Him. When I saw Him, when John saw Jesus, he said, I fell at His feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me. Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of death and of hell. I want you to know, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the grave could not hold him. He rose the third day, and when he rose the third day, he defeated death, he defeated hell, he defeated the grave, and he said, whosoever believeth in me should never perish, but have everlasting life. Do you understand today that this life that you live is the life that God's Son is willing to give you? And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Do you understand that this life that we're talking about is life that could not be sealed in a tomb? No one else has ever done what Jesus did. You say, what about Lazarus? He resurrected. Yeah, but he's dead now. And Jesus is alive. Amen? He's alive forevermore. You say, well, Lazarus is in heaven. His body is still on the ground. Jesus bodily resurrected. And he's in heaven. And when he comes back, he's going to bodily return. After us. Amen. I also know that the life that he liveth right now, the life that he lives by the Father, is a life where he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. The Bible says in John chapter number 6, verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. We've seen a love too glorious to mention them. We've seen a life too great, a lesson too great to measure. Then I want you to see a life too good to miss. It's so good you don't want to miss it. It's nothing like this in all the world. There's a truth that's here that is unlike any other truth. It's a truth that'll change your life. The same life that the Father gives the Son is the same life that the Son is willing to give you. What a thought. What an amazing thing that I will be able to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and I'll be like Him, for I'll see Him as He is, the Scripture says. He said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And this life is for everyone that's willing to believe the Lord Jesus Christ. This is more than just having a religion that puts a yoke upon you. It's more than joining a church. It's more than just thinking you have a ticket to heaven. It's a life. It's a new life. And it's only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have it today, you may not have much of the world's goods, but you're the richest person you could possibly be. For you have everything that you need. Life may come and go as far as these old bodies are concerned and as far as people the world may think. But there is an eternity beyond this life. And that eternity is going to be spent either in heaven or in hell. And it all depends on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. He came and laid down His life so that you could have life. And the life that the Father's given Him is the life that the Son is willing to give you. It don't come through baptismal waters. It don't come through church membership. It don't come through doing good deeds. It comes through personally trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God did everything that He could. The Lord Jesus did everything that needed to be done in order for you to have life. And because of this, if you're here today and you're saved, you ought to be willing to give everything that you have as far as your being to the work that God has for you to do. But if you're here without Christ, you have two choices. He's making Himself available, and He's offering to you everlasting life. You can either reach out and receive this life, or you can reject it. God doesn't force it upon us. God gives us a choice. You today are going to make a determination. You're either going to say, I don't care, and I'm going to walk out this door, and if I die, I'm going to die and go to hell. Or you can say, I do care. I want eternity in heaven, and I'm going to receive Christ as my Savior. I'm going to put my life in His hands. And I want you to know it's a life too good to miss. You don't want to miss what God has for you. You don't want to miss the blessings of heaven. You don't want to miss all the things that lays before you if you'll put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The life that a believer has by Him is that which makes us a new creature. It breaks the bonds of sin. It robs the devil. It cheats hell. And it makes a redeemed soul so happy. Dear friends, I've never met one person that trusted Christ that said, I wish I hadn't been saved. I've never met one. Because it's the greatest thing that could ever happen. It's too good for any sinner to miss. And Jesus paid it all. I close with this. Years ago, there was a man that operated a drawbridge for the railroad. His name was Albert, and he had a son named Peter. And Peter loved his daddy. And Peter would go many times and watch his daddy at work. He would go and watch as his daddy would do what needed to be done in order for the drawbridge to be raised. And one day his daddy had the drawbridge raised to let some boats pass through. But he knew it was about time for the New York train to come. And I believe the name of the river was the Passaic River. And he knew it was time for the New York train to come through. And time was getting ever so close. And as the boat was going through, the bridge was still up, and he saw Peter coming to him. And he looked, and Peter slipped on the bank of the river and plunged into the cold, cold water. At the same time, he heard the train whistle blowing. And he knew he had to get the bridge down. Peter, or hundreds of people. And he knew what he had to do. He lowered the bridge. It took the time, and the train began to pass through. And when he saw the train was going to pass through safely, he ran out of the shack, and he went running, and he plunged into the river. And he pulled out the body of his son. And the boy was dead, and he couldn't revive him. I want you to know 2,000 years ago, there was a God in heaven that looked down upon the world and saw multitudes of people that needed to be rescued, that needed to be saved. And He spared not His own Son, but sent Him to die on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for you. And what you do with it is between you and Him. But if you reject Him, I want you to know there is no hope outside of Christ. There's only one life, one person that can give you eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. Not this church, not some ritual. It's a relationship. And you enter into it by grace through faith. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. You know your need so much more than I know, but God also knows your need. I've preached today a simple message on life. The life of the Father, the life of the Son, and the life of the believer. You can have that life, the life of the believer. You can know that heaven's going to be your home. That's great. It's the greatest thing that will ever happen in your life is when you trust Jesus as Savior. But there are those that are here today that's never trusted Christ. You may think you're going to wait, put it off, more convenient time, better place, better time in your life. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of a tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, that simply means God don't promise us that we'll have a tomorrow, but God's given you right now. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got two choices: reject Him or receive Him. You know the greater choice is to receive Him and to have the life. The life that God gave the Father is the life that that the Father gave the Son is the life that the Son wants to give to you. He gave His life so that you could have life. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I know that heaven's going to be my home. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I know I have put my faith and trust in the perfect Savior. And because of that, I have assurance today that if I were to die, or if Jesus were to return today, I'm on my way to heaven." Would you lift your hand? "Preacher, I'm saved. Not perfect, but I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven, and I'm happy about that." God bless you. Thank you for that. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I didn't raise my hand. I don't have that peace and that assurance that I'm saved. And I know I don't want to die without the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I don't want to die and go to a terrible place called hell. I'm not committing to anything. I just want you to pray for me, preacher." And I'll talk to you about it in just a second. You say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I don't have peace about my eternity. And if I were to die, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I sure care enough that I would at least ask you to pray for me." Would you lift your hand? "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved." God bless you. Would there be another one this morning? Pray for me, preacher. God bless you. Would there be another one this morning? Pray for me, preacher. "I'm not saved. I'm burdened about this." God bless you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty this morning. Would there be another one this morning? Pray for me, preacher. "I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I don't want to die without the Lord Jesus." Would there be one more? One more. Many of us raised our hands. We were saved. Heaven's going to be our home. We have a life that's been given to us from the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son. In your heart, in your soul right now, I want you to ask yourself, what am I doing with the life that's been given me? Am I giving myself to doing the will of God? Am I surrendered to what God wants me to be doing with my life? In just a moment, if you say, "I need to come and deal with this," I want you to lead the way for these that need to trust Christ as Savior. I want you to lead the way as God is dealing with you. Your obedience may help others. You do what God wants you to do. If God is burdening you about coming to the altar, I want you to come this morning and obey the Lord. Father, please have your way. I pray for these that are here today that does not have the peace about heaven. They can't say for sure that they know heaven's going to be their home. I pray that they would find themselves in the altar today, and Lord, allowing us to take the Bible, show them what it means to be saved. I pray for believers that need to commit to the next step of their life, or maybe they just need to surrender fully to Thee in certain areas of their life, or maybe they're just away from Thee. Lord, they need to come and confess that. Lord, allow You to forgive and to move on with their lives. I can't thank You enough for the life that we have in Thee. Lord, help us to live the way You would have us to live. For it's the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you quietly stand to your feet this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.